This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, when you see, especially Ruben's type of player that he is, the energy that he brings, he wouldn't be laying down unless something was wrong. But hopefully it was, you know, hopefully we'll hope for the best right now until we get the results. But very concerning for sure. You know, he's, yeah. So I'll just have to wait and see before I get too emotional about it.
It's Jay Gruden talking about the injury to Ruben Foster yesterday. First play for him in OTAs. Third play of the day. First play for him. He goes down, severe injury, carted off, done for the year. What's it mean? What's it mean for this defense? What's it mean for the team? You know, he wasn't here last year, so it's not like you're taking something away from last year's defense. But there's upside. He was going to be a starter. He had, you know, he was a high draft pick for the Niners. Did have some injury trouble with the Niners, but they were counting on him this year. And now you're going to have to slot someone in there who's a backup. So
it just
we'll
feels
see how
typical. And I could see why Redskins fans easily go to, well, we're just cursed. It's bad luck. And I think it is a hit. Although, on paper, as we were talking about earlier on the show, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, they still should have a better defense because your Alabama players who are up front on the defensive line, they're maturing. They should be getting even better in Jonathan Allen and Jerron Payne. You draft Montez Sweat at outside linebacker. That should be an upgrade on Preston Smith. You bring in Landon Collins to play safety, and you pretty much have the rest of the guys back. So you were hoping that Ruben Foster was going to be a difference maker as a middle linebacker. Instead, you're pretty much going to just have the guys you had last year, right? Minus Zach Brown.
For the most part.
Mason Foster and Sean Dion Hamilton would be the two right now who are slated to be the inside linebackers.
Correct. Although I've heard great things about Cole Holcomb, the fifth round pick. They were surprised he was there, and they think, you know, he's undersized, but that he's a playmaker. So I wouldn't be surprised if he finds himself in the mix a little bit there. I don't know. I just feel bad for the guy to go down like that first practice. I don't think the Skins are cursed. I got like three people texted me it's the Dan Snyder curse. I don't believe that, but man, it sure would be nice.
You won't call out those idiots.
No, they're not idiots. They're good friends of mine, but it's just that's how frustrated people are.
Right.
That's just what it speaks to, just how frustrated people are. It's just the same. We can't get out of our own way. And that's only the first practice. I mean, hopefully don't lose somebody today.
Right.
And Gruden was very high on the guy. I mean, I look, there's a reason they took a risk on him. To, you know, at the time, some people were upset that they signed Ruben Foster. I thought it was kind of like a no big deal because, let's say, he ended up being suspended by the league. Well, he you know, wasn't really on your roster.
Right.
There was nothing really to lose by signing him. But then once he actually, you know, the verdict came down. What was he going to lose? Two game checks, but he wasn't going to be suspended for any games.
Correct.
Then you're actually looking forward to his play on the field.
Right. Which so far, let's be clear, I think as JP said, and maybe even as Hoffman said, he hadn't produced much at the NFL level, but you're just basing it on potential, what he did at Alabama,
right,
how much Gruden liked him.
And hoping that with, you know, the coaching staff they have,
that they'd be able to
harness his
talent.
Well,
when he played, when he was healthy, I think 3 years ago, I want to say 3 years ago for the Niners, he had a ton of tackles. So he was pretty good when he was healthy. But he hasn't been healthy in a couple of years.
How many years was he with you guys? Was he with three or two?
He was drafted, I think, in 2016, maybe? 2016.
He's only
draft.
25.
Yeah, check that.
Yeah. So.
But again, it just kind of affects your depth.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you got to slot someone in there that was going to be a backup.
And he's a potential difference maker. Like the thing that they lack, in my opinion, on both sides of the ball are game breakers and game wreckers, right? Game breakers meaning like the receivers that you can throw a 10-yard out to that might end up taking it to the house.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't had that offensively. On defense, Kerrigan does at times force fumbles or something, but they don't have guys that make a ton of plays, like difference-making plays.
Right.
You know, it's great if you can get 100 tackles. It's great, but for whatever reason, I would guess.
I don't think he had 100.
But no, I have it in front of me. He had 72.
Right.
And he only played in how many games? 10 games.
Yeah.
No,
so
I'm not saying he did, but I'm saying it's great if you can get 100 tackles, whatever, and be a tackler. But you also want somebody that's going to maybe have a couple of interceptions, force some fumbles. And I think that's what they expected out of Reuben Foster.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see.
Well, just cross your fingers here for the next few days that another piece doesn't go down.
This doesn't doom the team.
No, I don't think so at all. But it hurts him, but I don't think it dooms
him. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He's going to be a starter.
He lost
a starter.
By the way, the plight of the D.C. teams right now.
I know.
If you had to rank
them. Pretty bleak.
So the Caps are the best right now, right?
Yeah.
But the Caps, look, they got bounced out.
Disappointed, but that can happen anytime.
Sure. But it was a quick playoff
They're
run.
They're still by far the elite of our local teams.
They are. So 2, 3, 4. I got to put Wizards dead last.
Skins two right now. The optimism. There's no optimism for the Nats. So right now there's a little bit of healthy optimism
they're
because you drafted a young quarterback in the first round.
They're all in kind of a similar spot, though. The Skins,
yeah,
the Nats,
but of those three,
Wizards,
which would you rather be?
Which would you rather be?
I guess the Nats, traditionally.
Yeah, but this year.
Man, they suck. I don't know. That's a good question.
I definitely wouldn't
want to be the Wizards.
The Wizards are dead last.
Let's throw this out there. We just kind of stumbled into this. Who would you most want to be in terms of the future? The Redskins, the Nationals, or the Wizards? Nationals currently 9 games under 500, 9 games back in the NL East. It is trending towards a loss season. The only way they get to 90 wins, which we've all said is kind of the mark you need to get to potentially get in the playoffs, because that's not a guarantee. 90 wins doesn't guarantee the playoffs, but we think it would probably be in, is they have to win 62% of their games. It's just not going to happen.
Doesn't look like it's going
to happen. They'd have to go, I wrote it down earlier.
71-44.
Yeah, 71-44. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So the Nationals, you got the Redskins. I might say the Redskins just because of the possibility that Haskins could be a stud.
If Haskins is legit. Yeah. Well, then you got a chance. Anytime you got a quarterback, you got a chance.
It's a quarterback-driven league.
For this year, just based on what we've seen with the Nats, and I'm writing them off, I'd say I'd rather be the Skins because at least there's hope and they haven't disappointed us yet.
Mm-hmm.
But over a 5-year period between now and the next 5 years, I would rather be a Nats fan, you know, that sort of thing. Although I'm getting nervous that they're just going to just have superstars and let them leave every time their contracts are up.
Because I would look at an older Scherzer, you know, 3 years from now, do you expect the same Max Scherzer?
No, not necessarily, but hopefully.
Of course not. I still have faith in Mike Rizzo. Everyone in town has given up, and they're now pointing fingers.
I haven't given up. I'm just saying they're a team that missed the playoffs last year, and this year they're probably going to miss the playoffs. I don't know. 800-636-1067. I might say, and it's just rolling dice, I might say Skins because potentially
they have
some young
franchise
stars
quarterback
in Haskins, and we've yet to see him. But what if Geis is a stud? Then you got a couple guys offensively, and we know that the defense has young players.
Are you asking what team I would rather run out of the four? I would like to
which
run
is
this
what would
team.
You rather
four, be? I'm taking the Caps
sort of,
out of the
you're taking
equation.
Caps out. So what team would I just want to root for?
Which one
just
do you think has a brighter future?
Out
which
of
one
three?
Has the brightest future? The Skins,
Nats.
The Nats, or the Wizards?
The
well,
Nats.
It's definitely not the Wizards. So it comes
the
down
Wizards
to two,
are dead last.
It's Nats and it's
the Nats. It's because historically, you look at what the Redskins have done. You have to. There's some equity there.
Yeah,
the
but
Nats.
the Nats the last year and a half.
Okay,
call it 2 years now because they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
been bad.
And they got major holes. We all know it. They need for next year. They need a fourth starter. They need a fifth starter. They need a better bullpen.
I might say the Skins.
As I said
and
earlier,
then you don't know what's going to happen with Rendon.
If the Nats become a team that just draft superstars, groom them, and enjoy 4 or 5 years of them, and then as soon as they're up for free agency, they just allow them to walk like the Twins did back in the day, or I even feel like Oakland did
but
that back
the
in the day,
same because
then I cannot be a fan of that team. I have to give up my
maybe
fandom.
That happens to a
I'm not
guys,
interested in that.
But they also gave big money via free agency to Corbin. So it's not like they're just doing
one Yeah, but
one
if they're not
going
to re-sign their own guys, their own superstars, just allow them to walk, I have to eventually stop rooting for them.
I think they're
not
trying.
Interested.
Well, it's going to be hard for you to do that.
If you're a true fan,
you've said that about the Redskins. You're going to become a Ravens fan.
Not that hard in the baseball.
It's impossible.
A Cubs fan, became an Orioles fan. Now he's
I'm not
okay, but he's a true Nats fan.
I am a true Nats fan. But I will lose a lot of faith if they just start letting their superstars just walk. And they're just not going to pay them what they deserve.
All right, I'm going
to
say
I think you have to be open to it.
Skins 1, Nats 2, Wizards 3.
Right.
I mean, it's almost impossible. If the Wizards had landed Zion, how could you put the Wizards
Who has a brighter future? That's the bottom line. Right. Who has a brighter future?
I think the Skins, and here's
why. In the next 5 years?
Yeah, because they're going to have another coach. And Haskins is going to be pretty good, I think. I'm going to bet on. And the defense, most of those guys are young. They're not going to go away. They should be decent to better than decent in the future. The Nats could be a middling team.
I can't buy this notion that the Nats are just going to be like an 80-win team for the next 5 years. I just can't. I mean, they were, I guess, 10 years ago.
It doesn't seem like it. But
well, they were worse than that.
I mean, look, unless Rizzo's gone, they bring someone else in. Rizzo's not going to allow that to happen.
Right. I still have too much faith in him.
But again, he's got bosses that write the checks. So
they're spending $200 million. They got to figure out a way to allocate the money.
I get it. Well,
spread it out.
Most of it's with the pitchers.
Yeah.
Think about the total contracts of those three pitchers. About $510
million. So you're saying you think the Skins have a brighter future between now and the next 5 years?
Look, I wouldn't feel confident. If we were gambling, I wouldn't feel confident. But I will say the brightest future of those three teams right now, it'd be on the Skins. And it's completely unproven. I don't believe in their head coach. But it's banking on Haskins. If Haskins is good, then they're going to be good.
The Nats, a big bet.
The Nats, look, the last 2 years, as Jason said, they're a 500-ish team at best. Why is that going to change? This might be what they are.
Because you look at the previous years and what they did.
Yeah, but we're beyond those previous years.
But it shows you they know how to do it.
But
the Skins have never done it with this regime.
True. JP, next year the team will look different.
True.
I mean, if they lose Rendon, they're going to replace him.
Yeah, well, this year
it's not
going to
be Wilmer Defoe playing third.
Yeah. Let's go to Eddie, Alta Vista. Eddie, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, man, how's it going? Yeah, 4 hours from you guys, but I'm listening to you. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, buddy.
And I really appreciate what you guys are saying about the Skins. I agree with them. I think they drafted very well. The Wizards and the Nationals and all, they're right now. But you guys are right on top of it.
Well, we'll see.
Well, it's speculative.
We'll see. We don't know how good or bad Haskins is going to be. Haskins might suck.
I've played craps. I'm sure you played craps. It's a roll of the dice because we don't know.
Yeah, Haskins may suck, but I think we're a run first team right now, and we got a hell of a backfield. And I got a defense that's built for championships, I think, right now. Even with Reuben Foster goes out, I didn't believe in him at all because he'd either beat somebody else up or you know, get on the weed again. So, hey, go with the defense of what we have.
By the way, where is Alta Vista?
It's down past Lynchburg. I'm about 20 minutes south of Lynchburg.
That's pretty far, right? Is that about 2.5, 3 hours?
Yeah, that's deep.
How are you listening to us, Eddie?
It's 4 hours. I'm a season ticket holder. I drive up there 4 hours up, 4 hours back for every game.
That's great. How are you listening to us?
On TV.
Okay.
On the Washington TV.
Nice.
Thank you, Sports Washington.
Nice, NBC Sports Washington. You got it, brother. All right, thank you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, pal.
I should have a better knowledge of Virginia geography. Like, is Lynchburg close to Norfolk?
I don't think so.
Like, are affiliates in Norfolk or
Richmond? I heard it's kind of like in the middle of nowhere. Gotcha. That's what I've heard.
But you're kind of unfamiliar like I am.
Well, I know kids that are going there to play lacrosse. You got a good lacrosse program over there.
But you can't pick it out on the map.
Dude, I couldn't pick out.
Lynchburg is in the center of the state.
Nebraska.
Probably even the western part of the state. So it's not, it's probably three. I'm going
to
guess it's 4 hours.
Close to Norfolk.
I'm going to say it's 4 hours from Norfolk.
Well, like I said, he was watching us on TV.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's great. You can always watch us on NBC Sports Washington. All right, coming up next, we're going to get into the NBA playoffs. Brian Orringer used to work with the Wizards as a video coordinator.
Here's what I'm asking.
NBA scout.
How would you fix the Wizards? Yeah, are they fixable?
We'll get into that next here on The Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Last night, Western Conference Finals, Golden State completed the sweep of the Portland Trailblazers. or maybe they just go by the Blazers now. Steph Curry averaged 36-plus in the series.
You know what's crazy about
146 points in four games.
He had 26 threes in the series. And how crazy is this? He had 36, 37, 36, and 37 in the four games.
So he averaged 36.5 points
per game. How consistent
is that? Which I guess is the most ever in a sweep, which breaks Shaq versus the Nets, I believe, by a point. Anyway, joining us right now to talk some NBA is Brian Orringer. Used to be a video coordinator with the Wizards, former NBA advanced scout. We just learned during the break he worked with Gary for a couple of years. Did he ever yell at you?
A few times, yeah. He had a tendency to do that.
Really?
What would you do that would piss him off?
You could do anything, you know.
Just be standing in the wrong spot.
You could be talking to an assistant coach, and he'd say, you know, like, manager, what are you doing? Why are you talking to that guy? Right, yeah. You get the finger right
in
your face.
He would just call you manager.
Yeah, you didn't have a name when you're a manager. You're basically manager, or he'd yell at the assistant and say, Rob, why are you talking to the manager?
Oh, really?
You know, that kind of thing.
When you were done, did he know your name when you were done?
I don't know if he ever did. I think, like, the seniors, he knew their name, you know, the senior managers, but I was only first 2 years, so wasn't worthy of that yet.
Right. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Manager!
I still love the Gary talking to his ball one. Who was that played
Jason
with
had
Gary?
That story.
Oh,
he's playing
know.
Golf with somebody maybe out of Columbia or something.
It wasn't me that was playing
just
with him.
Told you.
I heard that story.
Yeah.
I've heard that a number of times.
Gary doesn't want you talking to his ball.
Might have been.
He said, get down. Hey!
Don't talk to my ball.
Yeah.
Don't ever talk to my effing ball. That's what he said. He loved to
anyway,
drop the F-bombs.
So you know, like, I've checked out your stuff, and if you want to follow him on Twitter, what is your Twitter account?
Just Scout with Brian.
At Scout with Brian. He gets deep into, like, the plays. And I was thinking about this with Golden State. So five straight NBA finals. They run kind of the same plays a lot, and it just can't be stopped. Like, the pick and roll with Steph and Draymond Green. If you're the advanced scout of the Wizards, how are you stopping that?
There's a lot of praying to it, you know. I think you just have to show them different looks. But ultimately, you know, I did a breakdown of, like, Game 6 against Houston. They ran the play down the stretch 10 times. They scored 8 times, you know, in the fourth quarter.
Ten times in a row,
the same play. Same exact play. Side pick and roll, Steph and Draymond, that's all they ran. And Houston, they trapped it, they switched it, they, you know, they hedged it, they did a few different things, and no matter
couldn't
what they did, you couldn't stop it. So ultimately, you have a guy like Steph, it's just impossible.
Well, it's amazing like, skill level, first of all.
Right.
First and foremost, amazing skill level, especially from him.
Yeah.
Because he can get the ball off so quick and he's so accurate.
Right.
One of the best, I was going to say, it's a guy like Steph, but what I think Draymond's reminding us, too, is it's a guy like Draymond.
Right.
How many guys in the league are there like Draymond Green?
Yeah, he's probably the best passing big man, maybe besides Jokic in the league. But he's basically their point guard. You know, he makes the right read every time. Such a good screener, such a good passer. Rebounder, you know, he does every little thing they need, and playing, you know, with a guy that gets trapped all the time, and Steph and Clay getting trapped, you know, he's the perfect outlet man to make those passes.
Just to drag you into an argument we kind of were having with the caller, and then Jason was kind of siding with the caller about James Harden. A lot of people are criticizing James Harden because he hasn't been able to lead Houston past Golden State, and what I said is, it's Golden State. You take a look at LeBron's record against Golden State the last several years, it's not good. And so James Harden, actually, to get a couple games is more than anybody else is getting off him. Portland just got swept.
Yeah, but he also disappeared in some of those games. At least LeBron's got a ring to show for it.
He averaged 35 points a game in the series against
Golden State. You always get hung up in total numbers. You are Mr. Stat.
I'm just saying, what more can you do? You want to average 40?
Well, when Durant's out, you can take over. If you're the MVP of the league, you can take over and will your team to a victory at home. That's what you can do, which he didn't do. I'm sorry. He's not one of the greatest. I can't label a guy one of the greatest if he disappears in spots, in big spots, and he can't get by at least one of those years, get by the Golden State Warriors. I don't know how you could.
Yeah, I mean, that was the finals to me. I think those are the two best teams in the league ultimately, and it's a shame for James, honestly, that they ran into them in the second round because I thought he did almost everything you can to do, but, you know, P.J. Tucker down the stretch, I think, missed a wide-open corner three in Game 6. You know, Steph goes nuts. It's like we measure all these things by, winning and losing, but I think Harden made the right play almost every time. He just, like you guys said, ran into a juggernaut, and, you know, that's the narrative's going to be against him, but I think he's still, you know, one of the best two players in the league.
Now, if Golden State plays Milwaukee, all right, which I think will happen, who knows, Toronto can come back and win tonight, but if they play Milwaukee, they were one of the better defensive teams in the league. What kind of problems do they pose? They probably can't even stop them. I mean, no one's been able to stop Curry. But what can they do defensively to try and shut him down?
I mean, you know, they're just a great defensive team. You know, they're really locked in. They have Bledsoe really gets into the ball. You know, Giannis, obviously. They have everybody that plays goes all out, which is the same thing you see in Golden State. But, you know, I think they just have a lot of bodies. Bud tends to play a big rotation. You know, I think they get pretty aggressive and try to, you know, make the ball handler get rid of the ball, which is you got to make Steph get rid of it ultimately. But, you know, I think Giannis obviously presents a lot of problems, too, that Golden State hasn't seen exactly, right, just in terms of being such a force in transition, being able to get to the basket whenever he wants. You know, that's he's going to be the toughest challenge I think they've faced in the playoffs, basically. And, you know, they're a good challenge. I think Kawhi would be interesting. And, you know, whoever they play, I'd expect the finals to be a good series.
Yeah. Will they go Giannis on Draymond, and will they do someone like Brogdon on Steph? Will they switch it up? What do you think they'll do defensively?
Yeah,
in terms of matchups.
Yeah, I think Giannis on, you know, Draymond, maybe, you know, KD if he's back. But
true.
I think ultimately he can protect the rim a little bit. You have Lopez who's doing a great job blocking shots, protecting the rim. You know, I think they'll just kind of stick with what they've been doing and make a few adjustments here and there. But they have, you know, guys off the bench that defend. They have, you know, a 10-man rotation, like I said. They have a lot of guys who can mix it up and make things challenging.
See, that's what we're forgetting because Durant will be back because they've got a 9-day stretch before the finals start.
He should be back.
Should be back. I mean, he's got an extra week and a half to get healthy. So I would assume he will be back for game one of the finals.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think everybody's talking
about
it.
We're just assuming he's not going to be because we haven't seen him.
Right. No, and you hear all the better without him talk, but right, they were killing teams with him too. And, you know, and we had the whole, you know who I am, KD moment earlier this playoffs.
Yeah,
and now
yeah,
we got
right,
the basically same thing about Steph because people were doubting him and forgetting about him. And, you know,
I think Steve Kerr made a comment last night too, which I thought was actually in support of Durant because there's this discussion, okay, they're winning all these games without Kevin Durant. And he said, well, we've done it without Steph in the playoffs. They're 9-3 without Steph. They're just that good. Mm-hmm. You can take a guy or two off, and they're still going to find a way to win because the guys who are left are so special. Because if we're going to talk about Steph and Draymond and KD, now we're forgetting about Klay Thompson, who's great.
Yeah,
so
for
they're
sure.
Just a great team.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about the Wizards. You worked with Scott Brooks for a year, and it's funny. Every year we have Scott Brooks on the show. We always talk about they're going to focus on defense. And this year they were horrific on defense. How can this change for them to be a more competitive team? What are they not doing defensively? They just have guys who aren't good defenders? What's the deal?
You know, I think ultimately it's all just about buy-in and just how hard you want to play. You know, I think every coach kind of spouts those cliches and says, you know, we just got to do the little things. We got to do it every time, commit to defense. And I know Coach Brooks has said that even when he's been in here. But, you know, it hasn't really translated. Actions speak louder than words, ultimately. So
why is John, now I'm going to talk about the healthy John Wall, mm-hmm, not a better overall defender? He's spectacular at blocking shots. He once said, I'm the best point guard in the history of the game, blocking shots, whatever he said. But it seems like on the ball, not that great of a defender.
He can be. You know, he has every physical tool to be. And I think at times, you know, when I was there even, we saw times in the playoffs where he could really get low in a stance, and he looked like an all-NBA defender, you know, and then you see times like when he was healthy even in the beginning of this past season where it was just pretty awful, right? Like you said, you know, I think he just wasn't locked in enough. He took a lot of plays off, and I think ultimately that's what's got to be on him to get to the really next level. If he wants to be, you know, top 10 player like he says he is, or top 15, whatever it is, he's got to commit to playing defense on the ball, off the ball, just staying locked in, helping his teammates, guarding the ball, you know, doing the little things. And defense is such a thing where you need all five guys to be locked in at all times. If you have one guy that slacks even on a single play, you know, it kills you.
So, yeah, it's a breakdown.
Yeah.
But knowing what kind of mentality he has through his career, do you ever see him improving defensively?
You know, I wouldn't bet against John Wall. I mean, from when I got there, you know, we used to sit in coaches' meetings and, you know, Randy Whitman and some of the guys would say, oh, my God, like he's like Allen Iverson defensively, like, you know, he's like unplayable, he's not playing hard, all these things. And they got his habits a lot better. I think he's night and day from where he was at the start of his career. You know, I think now it's just, you know, more and more. Obviously, he was a little banged up this season, more than maybe he let on. And I think maybe that impacted him. But, yeah, when he's back healthy, the challenge is going to be on him to really step up and be a top 15, you know, defender and be the player he says he is.
Brian Oringer's in studio with us, former NBA Advanced Scout, video coordinator with the Wizards. You can follow him at, see, I keep forgetting, at Scout with Brian on Twitter, at Scout with Brian on Twitter. So moving forward, We just kind of were talking about the teams in D.C., and we have the Wizards as the the most hopeless team. They have a draft choice at number 9. They have Bradley Beal as an all-star. What can they do moving forward to get back into playoff contention?
It's a million-dollar question. I mean, I think that's, you know, the first thing the GM will have to figure out, obviously. Personally, I think, you know, trading Brad would probably make a lot of sense just because of, you know, how valuable he is and how many assets you can potentially get for him. You know, I think obviously they're not really going to contend next season, and maybe a year or two down the road with kind of the cast they have and having to trade Otto, and who knows how John's coming back. So I think you do have to kind of look at a rebuild and find which young pieces you can start to build around. But I think it might be a long, slow process.
Can you build around the 9th pick? I mean, if you look at the 9th pick through the years, I mean, years ago, I mean, you could find guys throughout the first round. But, like, I started to look in the last couple of years, like, from the 9th pick on, there might be two guys that average double figures in their careers. You know what I mean? There isn't that much talent in the draft anymore the way there used to be.
Right. I mean, there's
it's
definitely
not that valuable of a pick.
Yeah. There's not a sure thing for sure, but I mean, you look at like Denver, they got Jokic, who's a second round pick, and he's their superstar franchise player.
It's a one in a million
right
shot.
I mean, you can strike gold, but yeah, I mean, I think they have to really hit big, but obviously, you know, falling in the lottery like they did was not a good thing, and it's not a super valuable asset.
Would you build
asset.
Through the draft, or would you build via free agency, like try to go that way? Where would you put more of your resources?
I think for them now, they need to just accumulate draft picks and start to rebuild the assets a little bit because, you know, they don't even really have money to spend in free agency anyway. I think they keep Tomas and maybe, you know, Portis and a few of those guys would be good to keep around since they're young enough to be part of the next core. But, yeah, I mean, they're kind of depleted in terms of the assets now. I think they're going to need like a top three, top five pick, you know, down the road to really build around.
Do you blame Conley for not coming?
I don't know the details of it. You know, I don't know if he was really offered, you know, the contract in the first place, if he was offered the fourth year.
Candace is reporting, what, on Sunday he was offered a deal.
She said he is now reported?
That's what she said. I thought she said that on our show this morning. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
She did
say. Said on Sunday he was offered a deal and turned it down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it wasn't enough money, I mean, I think he loves the area. He started here, obviously, has a lot of ties and loyalty here, so I'm sure he thought long and hard about it, but, you know, Denver's a team that was a step away from the Western Conference Finals.
Why would you leave
that?
That's
a hard thing to leave.
Could
have been a leverage play, too.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Get more, yeah. And I think they said the Kroenke guy, whatever his name
is. So maybe he never really intended to take the job.
I believe that. Yeah.
All right, so there was a little sweat that the Wizards might be able to land Zion Williamson in the lottery. Not going to happen. He's going to go to the Pelicans. What do you see from Zion in the NBA and then Ja Morant?
Zion, I sided with Gilbert Arenas a little bit on him. I think he's a little overhyped, to be honest. I mean, I see tremendous potential. I think he's got, you know, an amazing motor. He'll be a shot blocker, a rebounder, you know, athletic freak. But, you know, ultimately the next level, he's a 6'8", undersized 4". You know, he's incredibly left-hand dominant. Has to use his left hand every single time in the post, around the basket. Can't really dribble with his right hand. Not a great shooter. You know, I just wonder, like, what's his role in a half-court offense? I think he's going to be a really good player. And, you know, I think, like Draymond, you know, if you take that motor and just put it on his athleticism, I think, you know, he'll be an all-star and a guy that's around that level. I just don't like the whole, you know, transcendent next LeBron type thing because, you know, I think that's just putting too much pressure on the kid for now. And Ja, you know, I love his game. I think he might be more NBA ready, honestly, than Zion. I think he's my favorite to win, you know, Rookie of the Year. I think he just fits in perfectly to NBA pick and roll right now. He's a, you know, good shooter, great passer, you know, just reads the floor really well, has a good feel to his game, kind of like a Lillard or like a Trae Young a little bit. So, you know, I think they're both phenomenal players, and I think the top two are getting real stuff.
So you still would have drafted Zion number one?
Yeah, you know, I think if I was Chicago or a team that had a lot of bigs already, I would have at least entertained the idea of maybe trading down to two and getting something else.
Getting
Ja. Yeah, but you know, I think it's too big of too talented to potentially pass up on. You know, that's the kind of thing they can get a GM fired if he really becomes.
And
a superstar.
And who did they just hire as GM? Was it Trajan Langdon they just hire?
David Griffin and Trajan. Yeah, the two of them are in New Orleans now.
And they're in New Orleans.
Griffin. Yeah.
What do you think of RJ Barrett?
You know, I haven't watched a ton of him yet. I really only dug into Zion and Ja so far, but. No, I've heard good things. I've heard some people think he's up there with them, but I have to get to the tape on him.
So. Well, Brian, man, thanks so much for joining us in studio. You can
good stuff.
Follow him on Twitter, at ScoutWithBrian. He breaks down a lot of plays, like the Giannis walk the other day. Giannis went on from, I don't know if you saw his Eurostep, EB. Yeah. He took his one dribble from half court.
I saw it.
And
incredible.
Took what it looked like two steps. Then he jumped to the right, then jumped all the way to the left, and they didn't call it.
So he took one dribble from half court.
Correct.
So he took five steps.
Basically, maybe four.
Had at to have taken four. At least four.
At least four.
No one can get to the rim.
But he took a couple steps before the dribble. Then he picked it up. I thought I counted too. If we're talking about the same
one, the Euro step was a Euro step, the right to the left. Right. But there was a walk before that.
He walked before he put the ball down, like you said, and then you know on the Euro step he kind of dragged his right foot. Then the left came down. So I think it was a travel, but it was close.
Yeah, definitely a travel.
All right, Brian, appreciate the time. Follow him on Twitter at @ScoutWithBrian. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Right now, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. Hook you up with a pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on Miami Friday, May 24th at Nats Park. After you enjoy the game, you can enjoy a spectacular fireworks show for Fireworks Friday. Tickets are on sale at nationals.com, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contests. Mm. So we spent a lot of time talking about the Reuben Foster deal, and he's out for the Washington Redskins. Tomorrow we'll find out more on the quarterback battle between Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins from OTAs as they continue. One thing that maybe is good news to Redskins fans is the Cowboys are having more issues, and it's with Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, he wasn't arrested. However, he was handcuffed, which is never good. After apparently knocking a man to the ground, I think it was a security personnel person. He had some sort of dispute with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I heard that he didn't hit her, but he may have been blocking her with his body.
Yeah.
She's trying to move, and he wasn't allowing her to get where she wanted to go. This all happened at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
You could imagine 3 a.m. in Vegas, because they were in Vegas, correct?
They're in Vegas. It's 3 a.m. It's a EDC music festival.
Probably hammered.
And again, Ezekiel Elliott not formally arrested, detained. And they're saying it's much ado about nothing. However, he's in a parking lot, 3 a.m., arguing with his girlfriend.
Guess they don't have OTAs this week.
An event staffer came over, and Zeke supposedly said something like, "You got something to say?" Staffer apparently got close to him. Zeke got in the staffer's face and then used his body to shove the guy backwards.
Look, it's
until
minor.
He hit a metal gate.
It's minor, but it just seems like he's always getting involved in something. You know, he's had two or three of these things off
the field.
He
likes to get after it. I know people that party with him before, and
he likes to.
He's fun, but he likes to get after it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he's hanging out in Vegas at 3 a.m. and we've all done it, but you know, when you're Zeke Elliott, you can't do that.
And he's got the history where he, in 2017, allegations that he physically abused an ex-girlfriend.
Right.
Wasn't arrested for that. But the NFL gave him a 6-game suspension.
Right. Yeah. He's
a handful.
He's got some black marks.
Put it this way. He's a handful.
Absolutely.
There are red flags there. I know people don't like that. There are red flags there.
And if the Cowboys have some salary decisions to make in the next year, they have Dak Prescott. Do you pay him big money as your quarterback of the future? They have Amari Cooper at wide receiver, and they've got Zeke. I would put Zeke because he's a running back, just third on the list, right?
I don't know, man. He's pretty damn good.
He's great.
I don't know if I'd put him third.
Well, with all of this?
Well, I know. They're going to deal with it. He's too good.
Zeke, and who's the third guy that you mentioned?
Amari Cooper.
I'm paying Zeke before Cooper.
Cooper was a big difference maker for him,
right?
By the way, there was a story about Kareem Hunt over the weekend. Kareem Hunt, who is now with the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Of course, was let go by the Chiefs. Cleveland Browns signed him. I believe he's going to be suspended for the first 8 games of the season. Elsworth will play the second half of the year. He got baptized over the weekend, and there were pictures of Kareem Hunt at his baptism with the head coach, Freddie Kitchens, and the GM, John Dorsey.
Right, they're there supporting him.
Supporting Kareem Hunt.
If it helps him, turn his life around and do the right thing. Hopefully he's learned his lesson there. I'm all about it. He says it's a new beginning for him. Good.
They're probably the Are they the most interesting team in the NFL this year? They have to be. Year two, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., new coach.
Say this, there's a lot of expectations now.
Why is there
big time?
Why is there more momentum and people are really feeling like the Redskins have a shot at this Hard Knocks? Why?
Well, it's down to like four or five teams, and I think by drafting two first-round draft choices,
it just makes them more compelling. Now, can the Redskins, if the NFL decides they're going to do it, they cannot reject it, right? That just won't show anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's Vegas odds. I think the other teams include the Giants, who, look, it could be compelling there because they drafted Daniel Jones and Eli Manning, but now they don't have Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
So, but they've got Saquon Barkley. I don't know. I don't know how they decide it. You have the Raiders. I would think the Raiders would be interesting, but they might also be, like, they might be planning it out for, like, next year because certain teams are eligible. It's like if you don't make the playoffs.
Right. There's some rules.
Like, the Raiders would be better when they're in Vegas. So they might be waiting for the Raiders to go to Vegas.
Look, the Skins would be interesting. I mean, they'd be very compatible.
I'd be butt-sized to watch them.
Yeah,
they'd
be great.
Are you kidding?
Darius Geis.
I don't think Bruce would allow you to see anything.
I'd be all in. Well,
I'd be all in, but I just don't think Bruce would allow you to see anything.
Probably not.
Yeah. We haven't talked about the Magic Johnson story. I think that's fascinating that he goes on and just Magic is so unpredictable. He just goes on, does a national interview, and then starts accusing Rob Pelinka of stabbing him in the back.
By the way, on the same day, he goes on First Take. The same day, they introduce Frank Vogel.
Right.
Not coincidental.
By the way, they haven't made the playoffs in 6 years, the Lakers.
Which is unbelievable.
Wizards-like. It makes sense for a team like the Wizards, not for a team like the Lakers.
The question is, who do you believe? Because at the top of the Lakers, I mean, there's a bunch of different names. You know, even guys like Phil Jackson is still involved because he's Jeannie Buss's boyfriend. Right. Aren't they still dating? I think they are.
Yes.
So you just have a lot of influence there.
The Rambuses apparently have influence.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't doubt that Magic wasn't at the office that much.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
I think he acknowledges that.
Yeah. Magic.
But I don't think that's the only thing he's complaining about, is that Rob was complaining that he wasn't there in the office enough. I think he thinks Rob was talking trash about him all the time. Yeah. And I wouldn't doubt it. It's hard to have respect for a guy that's only there a couple days a week. Plus, we've met Magic in person twice. Great guy, but
he's
kind of a clown.
It's just a matter of who you believe. I mean, I can believe that Magic just wants to be Magic, and his name's going to go real far in that organization, which, you know, a lot of people probably think he deserves. But if he's not there doing the work, I know they had some issues with being able to fire Luke Walton.
He's only
there
a couple days a week.
Yeah.
Palinka's there presumably every day. Grinding like most NBA lifers.
Yeah, true. But I could also see Palinka.
I could see being resentful.
Palinka wanting to be the only voice in the room, too.
Well, because Palinka had to answer to Magic.
Correct.
So Palinka's there grinding. Magic's swooping in every couple days.
Look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I could see Magic just showing up and say, hey, I'm Magic. I can do what I want.
Right.
And this is what we should do.
Right.
So Palinka would be pissed off about that. But there's just a lot of different voices up there.
Well,
but the fact that Magic didn't tell Jeannie Buss and he just announced it through the media was kind of Bush League.
I heard that Magic was part of what, to me, seems like a minor trade. They made a trade with the Clippers, trading Ivica Zubac to the Clippers. And apparently that was a Magic Johnson move, not necessarily a Pelinka move. And the reports are that Jerry West laughed at the Lakers for trading him.
Hmm.
Jerry West, uber respected. So you could see maybe Pelinka then taking shots at Magic, maybe separating himself from deals. Magic supposedly was behind, too, the D'Angelo Russell deal.
D'Angelo
Russell became an all-star this year with the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
Instead of playing a long game on somebody who you draft, like, second or third in the draft, Russell was drafted
pretty high. Yeah, it was really high.
He becomes an all-star. You end up selling him off quickly. So
Russell was an all-star, and he scored a bunch of points. But, man, I don't know how many Nets games you watched. I watched a few of them, especially in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Man, he takes some dumb shots. He just likes to jack them.
Yeah,
but you're right.
Welcome to the NBA.
That's the league.
I understand that. I'm just saying. Look, don't get caught up in all the numbers. All right, some of these guys are just—they're not about the team's success. They're about their own.
I'm sure it sucks for Magic Johnson if he indeed was backstabbed, but it's not uncommon for these great NBA players not to be good in front office jobs. We saw that with Michael Jordan firsthand.
I'm sure he was backstabbed, and I'm sure it was deserved.
Right.
You're probably
I don't doubt
right.
it for a second.
You're probably right.
I don't doubt it for a second.
But I guarantee you, Rob Pelinka's got as big of an ego as anybody.
Absolutely. And Pelinka, I guarantee you, resented.
I mean, people have been telling me he looks like Rob Lowe for years.
Yeah,
of course he's got a freaking ego.
He resented having just all these decisions they had to run by Magic. Magic's never even there. I don't think it's a coincidence that they announced yesterday that Pelinka is that they're not hiring anybody to replace Magic.
Right.
That Pelinka now is reporting directly to Genie.
Yeah.
Not Magic anymore. So he's actually so
Magic
jobs
is nothing.
Yeah.
Well, they should just have one voice. I mean, come on. Let's be honest.
I agree.
Shouldn't have the Rambuses and all the former players coming in and having some say in personnel decisions.
All right.
Is Byron Scott going to come in there too?
Byron Scott. James Worthy.
Right. Exactly.
All right. We got to get out of here for Bish, EB. I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny, they're coming up next, right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.